بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazreti Rahmetullahi Aleyh given a story after his usual after Juma program. One prominent Alim came and seen him. So he explained his experience, that what I have gone through. He says, because he was an Alim, so he used to write fatwas, etc. And it happened that he came across one fatwa where a person had divorced his wife and he had got back to her after the halala process. So when he got back to her after the halala process, so this alim that was writing those fatwas, it came out of his tongue. I don't know what's wrong with people, that they allow others to enjoy their wives and take them back. Because this is what the halala process is all about. The person has issued 3 divorces, then he can't get back to his wife unless she remarries someone and that person divorces her, then only can he remarry her. So this came out of his tongue, that I don't know what's wrong with people, that they divorce and they let others enjoy their wives and take them back in marriage. He says, up till that point, our marital relationship was quite smooth, comfortable, enjoyable. But from that point onwards, then some problems began to come up. My mother would complain about the wife, because she's like this and she's like this. And with those constant complaints, and that my emotions had the better over me. I came into the house one day, again my mother had to complain, so I couldn't take it any longer, and I just issued all those 3 divorces. My mother got to know about it, that this would happen. It was obvious for her to know. Since we were living in one house, and this is what happened, I had separated her. I couldn't get to her, so this news had come to my mother. So my mother says, no ways is this girl going out of this house. She will serve her iddat in a different quarter of the house where you're not going to get to her. And after her iddat has served her iddat, I'll get her married. And after that marriage is ended, then I'll get you back to the same woman. Because it was I that had arranged for your marriage with this woman. When I had arranged for you to get married to her, then this woman is not going to get out of this house. She had her way, and the iddat was served. And after the iddat was served, she remarried. And when that second husband had divorced, she had got her son to marry her again. So he says, if it just come out of my tongue, then this would happen. Many a times it is that we make statements, we say things, and then we forget about them. We don't think much about it, not realizing that that's got a consequence. What we say, what we do, must come with a consequence. So in this Mubarak month, one of the greater lessons that we need to learn is the lesson of restraint. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, as the Quran Sharif says, to learn restraint. This entire life is all about restraint. The more a person can restrain himself, the more enjoyable and the more smooth his life becomes. But for every small thing, if he erupts and he bursts out, he explodes in every small thing, then life becomes unbearable for him as well as for the people around. In order to learn this, we need to just take the analogy of a person that is stuck in a traffic jam. Imagine you are cornered from all four ends, from in front, from behind, from both the sides you've been cornered. Now you want to get out of the jam and you are hooting. So like you are stuck, the rest of the motorists are also stuck. They can't move as you can't move. And your hooting is just going to create some confusion and some annoyance. You will annoy and frustrate yourself and frustrate the people that are around you. The simpler thing is by you all in the same predicament, inshallah, this traffic will open up just now. It will ease out for me and for the rest. So in so doing, you will be easier and the rest of the people will also be easier. One tabi'i, he says that when I get up in the morning, then I read these 2-3 verses, and then the whole day goes very well for me, not really concerned as to what happens thereafter. The one verse, وَإِيَّمْ سَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ, that if Allah Ta'ala has to touch you with any calamity, then none can remove the calamity. He causes some calamity, some pain, then nobody can remove that calamity. وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ, and if Allah Ta'ala intends some good for you, some fortune, some good, some comfort for you, then nobody can turn that away as well. So it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala, it is His call, He decides. What happens with us, sometimes we get consumed with life. And when we get consumed with life and the people that we see around, we feel, well, this person is the spanner in the work, he is the impediment, he is the obstacle, he is creating problems for me. So we don't see and observe the real doer. He is the real doer, fa'ili haqiqi, he is the real doer. So we lose sight of him. And then we think about people only and we feel that this person is the cause, that person is the cause. Add to our frustration, add to our discomfort and uneasiness. By the same token, when we get some good, then we feel that this person is the one that brought the good about. Yes, it came through his hand, but it was the decree and the decision of Allah Ta'ala. Then when we begin to believe that it came from this person, then we begin to worship the person. We feel, well, he'll make things happen. If he intends, then it will work. So everything is subject to his intention. The verse is clear, but it is the decision of Allah Ta'ala. He wishes it will happen. He wishes nothing can happen. The earth and the heavens, the malaika and the jinnat, if all put together, they wish something for you, can't happen, unless it is the will of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it is a calamity, whether it is harm or good. They wish harm for you, they wish good for you, but it can't happen. So he says, this is the one verse that I read when I start off the day. The second verse that I read, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. When meaning is more or less similar, when Allah Ta'ala opens any good for a person, then nobody can hold it back. He opened up an avenue of good for you, nobody can hold that back to you. And if He closed up that avenue of good, then nobody can open that up for you. So He will open the avenue of good, and it is He that will shut it down. Right? So this is the second verse that I conscientize myself, I remind myself of. And the third verse that I think of always when I start off the day, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا, that after the period of difficulty, will there be ease? There will be ease after the short period of difficulty. So if I'm going through some patch, then I should also realize that inshallah, this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala, that you go through some difficulty, then things open out for you thereafter. So it's a difficulty, then there'll be some ease after that. When I read these three verses with a little bit of reflection and understanding, then really I'm not concerned, I'm not worried about what happens throughout the day. I feel very relaxed, I feel very comfortable and very easy within the mind. One person came up to Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and he says to Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, okay, so and so person had promised that he will cover my expense from Makkah to Medina. He will cover the expense both ways, to and fro from Makkah to Medina and Medina to Makkah again, and he will cover the expense. He will, as though he'll give me a ticket to Makkah and back. And now this person has turned around. He's promised that he will make this for me, and now he's turned around. So make dua for me now. So Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah's answer was, mere samne aise shirk ke kalima na kaho. Don't use this type of shirk in my presence. What are you implying? In other words, this person, if he intends your moving to Makkah, is subject to this person here. Have you lost sight of Allah Ta'ala? Living in Makkah Mukarrama, do you lose sight of Allah Ta'ala? That He is the doer. He wills, it will happen. If He doesn't will, no matter who tries to send you to Medina, it won't happen. You will just remain stuck at the spot where Allah Ta'ala has decided. So why can't you allow your mind to go to this? Many a times it happens to us that we get stuck into this asbab. Sometimes we felt this person is causing problems for me. And because of this person here, I can't progress in life and things are not working out for me. So we lose sight of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala wants that we bring Him, we conscientize ourselves of Him. Don't lose sight of Him. That is why after every namaz, it is masnoon to recite the dua, the fourth kalima, and after the fourth kalima, then you read, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt, wa la mu'tiya lima manat, wa la yanfa'u dhal jaddi min kal jadd. The fourth kalima is full of tawheed again, right? Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. To Him is the kingdom, is the sovereign, and to Him is all praise. The kingdom is also His. Every creation, the whole universe, the minutest atom, it is His. He is in full control and it belongs to Him as well. Nothing is beyond His control. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. And therefore, praise is all for Him. If it is His, He is in supreme control, then praise is also His. If you see the good, then it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And then you follow it up with the dua, Allahumma la mani'a lima atayt. Allah ta'ala, what you give, nobody can take away. And what you take away, nobody can give. This is such a blessing, this belief of Tawheed, this belief of the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, that He does it, and it is His decree, it is His decision that prevails ultimately. If there is a death, then again, for the Muslim, there is so many things just to comfort himself mentally, that it was the will of Allah Ta'ala, it had to happen. We are thankful to Allah Ta'ala that He allowed us this person for this amount of time, whether it was a father, whether it was a child, whether it was a brother, whether it was whatever, but Allah Ta'ala gave us the comfort of this person here for this period of time. And now that it was His decision, so this person had to go. So a Muslim looks at life from a different perspective altogether. It was the gift of Allah Ta'ala, it remained with us as long as Allah Ta'ala willed. When He willed, then it moved away as well. We don't get so enmeshed into that situation as though we can't come back to terms with life. We saw this thing happen here, but we can't come back to terms because we're so consumed and drowned in this whatever has happened. Some times back, there was a motor car accident, right? So one person was fatal, very fatal. And Now two Muslims, and they crashed into each other. The motor car accident is quite fatal, right? Very fatal. So it was a point where they could, where it could break up into an argument. You know, it was your fault. See what happened to my child because of you, your negligence. When the third person spoke out and said, "See, this is the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala. It happened. It was meant to happen. It happened. It was unavoidable." All those emotions all just subsided. Right? Now, if one doesn't believe in this oneness of Allah Ta'ala, that He is the doer, it is His decision, then you can't come to terms. You know, this person, he caused this whole problem here. This thing came to me because of him. Now, see what happened to my child. I can't get back my child. It's gone now. I can't get back my child because of this person's negligence. Right? Now, you're just looking at it at that level, and you're not looking behind the scenes at who is controlling the strings. Did you ever see that who's controlling the strings? If you ponder on that, then your anxiety, your worry, your distress all just subsides, just comes down. And then, in the divine plan, there's always some wisdom. Maybe we can't see it, but that doesn't mean that if we can't see the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, that it is void of wisdom. Musa alayhi salam, was walking past the street. So he had seen one person destitute, and he's down to earth. Miskinan dha matraba. In Arabic, when they describe a poor person, dha matraba. He's so poor as though he's covered in dust. Why they say covered in dust? In other words, he's covered in dust because he doesn't even have proper clothing to cover his body. So he uses dust to cover himself. So miskinan dha matraba. He needs to cover his private areas. And he doesn't even afford that amount of wealth where he can cover himself. So he's so poor, destitute, he doesn't have the means to cover himself. Musa alayhi salam turns to Allah Ta'ala, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, this person here, give him some wealth. He is in this type of a predicament, make him wealthy." A Nabi, and the dua of a Nabi obviously must be answered. So after some time, some years passed, Musa alayhi salam had to come the same way. And Musa alayhi salam sees from the distance that there is a crowd, and the crowd is looking at something. You know, one is on stepping up on the other person on his heels to see what's going on. So Musa alayhi salam finds out what's going on here. So they tell him, "No, but one person is being executed. He was involved in murder or something, and he's being executed." So he went and seen it properly. He said, that person that was destitute, he was down and out, and he is being killed today. So he inquired what happened. He said, "Oh, this person here, he was destitute. Until he was destitute, he was all right. But when the riches began to pour, then he couldn't control himself. He was using this wealth to suppress someone, to kill someone, to rob someone, to cheat someone. So he had the clout now. Before, he didn't have that might. He didn't have that clout. He didn't have that financial strength. Now that he's got that financial strength, so he's suppressing someone, he's smashing down someone, he's hitting down someone, because he's got the strength now. Eventually, the law got hold of him, and now he's being killed." So in the plan of Allah Ta'ala, there's always some wisdom. There's always some wisdom. And it may be that we cannot understand and discover the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala immediately. Right? If there is something that is not coming our way, we are worried now, you know, that why is this not coming our way, then it may be the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala that this is the better thing, that it doesn't come my way now immediately. It comes in time. When it comes in time, it comes with maturity, with understanding. When you are not fully mature, not fully understanding, and that gift came your way, even though it may come in a permissible manner, then there may be some abuse, there may be some type of wrong use. Don't you see, many a times, the parents sometimes they spoil their children with a car, fast car, and then before they know it, and the child dies, because he wants to see speed, he wants some adrenaline, he wants some excitement, and the excitement he wants to just break that speedometer, break it, take it right to the point, right to the edge, and the he goes to the edge. When he takes that car to the edge, then that's the end of him. So the better thing for the child was not to have that motor car. But the parents, then they gave in. They didn't realize what problems they're putting themselves into. So this divine plan has got some wisdom. Got some wisdom. And we need to follow that system. It doesn't mean that if everything is working with the divine plan, with the decree of Allah Ta'ala, then we can behave randomly and say, no, whatever has happened now, it's happened by the divine decree and divine order of Allah Ta'ala. So that gives us a license to do everything, anything that we want. I had mentioned the thing in the morning or the day before, that in this world as well as the next world, then Allah Ta'ala has got some systems. And those systems have to be respected. See, like, we have got a system of the Sharia, right? And the system of the Sharia has to be respected. It has to be honored. And the system being respected is for our own betterment, for our own good. Right? Just that because our experience is very little, our understanding and our knowledge is very little, then we can't see the wisdom of the Sharia. But genuinely there is wisdom in the Sharia. So on the one end we've got it, that it is the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is belonging to Him, right? And then we also do understand that everything happens with His decree and decision. Nothing is out of control. There isn't a thing like anything goes out of control in His kingdom. In His authority, nothing goes out of control. It's in His control. Right? So it's His kingdom and it is His authority. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ لَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَلَهُ الْمُلْكُ. If it is His kingdom, then it is His decision that prevails. So nothing goes out of control in His kingdom. But in all that, Allah Pak says, you need to keep yourself to conform to My system. My system is called the Sharia, so you just keep to it. In keeping and honoring the Sharia is your honor and your respect. One person saw a mango tree, right? And it's in season and full, you know, mango just come up in full season, all very, very attractive, very luring, you know. You can just see it, Chaucer. In India, Chaucer is about the best mango. I was asking that Maulana, he said to me, there's 400 varieties in India. Mangoes, they got 400 varieties, not just one or two. Right? So that Chaucer is about the tastiest, right? Right? So that thing comes right at the end. See, what is enjoyable comes right at the end. Eh? The best you ask in your du'as, Allah Ta'ala, the best part of my life, make it the end. So this mango also comes right at the end. The best part of the season is at the end. So the best part of your life must be at the end. So he saw this tree, and the fruit is in season, full season, and size, everything export grade, like, you know. So it's very, very, very tempting. Can't resist, irresistible. He climbed up the tree. Can't resist himself, poor chap. So the owner, he saw this is what's going on. So he said, all right, one, two, I don't mind. But now he's helping himself, the 10th mango, and he's filling, he's got a sack, and he's filling the sack up with mangoes. Hey, I can't allow this man. One, two, all right, man could resist himself, I can overlook that. But now he's fully filling his whole sack up. And he's doing it blatantly. One is that he's filling his sack, and then he's so brazen about the whole thing. So now I need to correct him. So man went up to him, but what are you doing? So this person says, see, I belong to Allah Ta'ala. My hands belong to Allah Ta'ala. Right? My mouth belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Right? My hands, my mouth, everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. This tree belongs to Allah Ta'ala. The fruit belongs to Allah Ta'ala also. Right? So Allah Ta'ala's hand is taking Allah Ta'ala's mango and putting in Allah Bak's mouth. So you got no right to tell me anything. See, what I'm showing you is the Sharia is divine and there's a lot of wisdom in it. There's a lot of system, there's a lot of wisdom in it. So anyway, this man says, all right, I can understand that it's Allah Ta'ala's hand and it's Allah Ta'ala's mouth, it is Allah Ta'ala's tree, it is Allah Ta'ala's mango, and you belong to Allah Ta'ala. So you have no right to tell me anything. So he says, all right, let's play you at your understanding. We'll play you at your understanding, at your level. So he calls two of his workers, just pull him down from the tree, brought him down, brought the rope, and he took a shambok and a whip, began to whip him. Why are you whipping me? So he says, you see, I belong to Allah Ta'ala. The whoop belongs to Allah Ta'ala. You belong to Allah Ta'ala. I belong to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's whoop is hitting Allah Pak's man. So if you only act on this perspective that everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala, therefore we can act randomly, then we'll bring about a confusion to life. We'll bring about a big, big disaster to life, a big confusion to life. Because then what stops me from getting into your shop and stealing your property? I'll say, well, what belongs to you is not yours, it's Allah Ta'ala's. I belong to Allah Ta'ala, your shop belongs to Allah Ta'ala, your merchandise, everything belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Randomly I can just get in and just take whatever I want. I ask you, will there be any system? There will be no system. There will be no way. One is property. One is your wealth. I can go and open up your vault and pull out all your wealth. And it won't stop there. That I can take your daughters away. That she also belongs to Allah Ta'ala. When it belongs to Allah Ta'ala, then what stops me from taking her away? So I ask you, will there be any system in this world? There'll be no system. So the Sharia brought about the system. Okay. Although everything in principle belongs to Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala has given certain rights. And those rights have to be respected. Those rights also given, and they are given by Allah Ta'ala. That this is a right, and this is this person's right. When this is this person's right, then you should respect his right. Don't encroach on his rights. Though everything belongs to him, but he has decreed that this is the person's right, when it is his rights, then you need to respect his rights. You don't encroach onto his rights. So you see the beauty of the Sharia that is given you the understanding that it belongs to Allah Ta'ala, but the same Allah Ta'ala who is the owner, he is given so and so person this amount of rights, and this right has to be respected, has to be honored. You don't encroach onto his rights, don't overstep the mark, and things will work out well for you. Started from Tawheed to Taqdeer. Yeah? There's two topics I'm discussing today with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Tawheed and Taqdeer. Like Tawheed is a requirement of faith. Right? Without Tawheed, then your faith is incomplete. You can't be a Muslim. By the same token, Taqdeer also, you have to believe in it. It happens by the decree of Allah Ta'ala. You don't believe in that, then you're out of Islam. One person came to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and so he wanted to know some masla. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu asked his background, etc. So you're coming from this place here. All right. You see, this person here doesn't believe in taqdeer. I got nothing to do with him. I got nothing to do with him, so you don't even convey salams to me. I break away from him. Right? وَإِنَّهُ مِنْ شِيِّ الدَّجَّالِ These people that don't believe in the taqdeer, in the decree of Allah Ta'ala, then they are the companions of Dajjal. If they fall ill, don't go and visit them. If they die, don't even participate in the janaza. You see, so taqdeer is not an optional thing. It's an option. It's not an optional thing. It's as important as you believing in Allah Ta'ala. It is as important as believing in Rasulullah SAW. It is as important as you believing in any of the tenets of faith. And, like I say, there's a lot of wisdom in this. Like the Quran Sharif says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا That whatever happens, it is already in a divine book, in the lower mahfuz, before it surfaces, before it comes into existence, then it's already decreed by Allah Ta'ala. لِكَيْلَا Now, this decree of Allah Ta'ala, and what's the wisdom behind it? So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the wisdom, لِكَيْلَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ So when you come into this world, when you step down to this earth, then you'll have one of two situations. It will be either adversity or prosperity. Right? Anything else. You either go through adversity or prosperity. One of the two will happen. For iftar, you may get either kari kichri or either you may get biryani. Right? One of the two will happen. Right? So it's not going to be all dry all the time. And it's not going to be all rosy also all the time. So sometimes you'll go through some difficulty, and sometimes you'll go through some prosperity. It's going to have one of these two is going to happen. Right? And in this, Allah Pak is going to observe, what's your response? When there was good times, what's your response? And when there were constraints and distress, then what was your response? What was your behavior? So the whole idea is to see your behavior. He is planning the whole thing. He is deciding. But what he wishes to see, what he proposes to see, or what he proposes to see, what's your behavior. I'm going to do this, but I want to see what's your behavior. How are you going to respond? Like the father has given some sweets to the elder brother. So the father wants to see now, this elder brother, how considerate is he? He's got other three siblings. And what is he going to do with the sweets? He's got more than enough. I want to see what's his behavior like. The father got stocks of it. He's got a sweet factory. He's got so he's got nothing short. He's got candies and he's got all heaped up and loads. He's got, but he wants to see his child's response. Right, that I'm giving this to him. So what is he? What is his response going to be like? Is he going to keep it all for himself? Is he going to share it with his siblings? And if he shares it with his siblings, then in what proportions is he going to share it with his siblings? So the father wants to see the response. And he wants to see the response because he wants to make him more responsible. This child, if he's got a sense of responsibility, a sense of fairness, then he will behave in a certain way. That I can have better expectations of this child in my presence, in my absence, to give him certain responsibilities, to hand him over certain portfolios, because he has a sense of responsibility, a good mature understanding he's got. He'll know how to handle things. He will do it in a more mature and a more just way. So, لِكَيْلَا تَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ There's going to be one of two situations. One situation is when you're going to have that wealth and prosperity, then لا تفرحوا بما آتاكم You can become overcome with pride and arrogance. You want to show yourself out. Right? It's your friend now, so you just pulled out that porch now. You have to go just in front of his house and with screeching brakes and accelerating and all, you have to show that, right? Now, it's for what? Just to show off, isn't it? just to show off that I'm something to reckon. I'm not just a furniture. You know, I got this thing here. Right? So that will be one response, that when you've got that wealth, in the prime of that wealth, then you want to show yourself out. You want to be proud. Yeah? You want to be arrogant. So that arrogant is as though you are alluding that it is me. This is mine. I got this. Yeah? Like yesterday, Mawlana read that verse, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. When Qarun was warned by his people, you know, be thankful to Allah Ta'ala, أحسن. Be good, be thankful. Allah Ta'ala has given you all this. كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. All this that you see is from Allah Ta'ala. So you'll be good towards people like Allah Ta'ala has been good to you. So what his response is, أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I've got this of my own achievement. I, you know, my sweat, my acumen, my understanding, see, it's me that brought about all this. So Allah Pak doesn't like this. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَهْلَكَ مِنْ قَبْلِي مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مَنْ هُوَ شَدُّ مِنْ قُوَّةً وَأَكْثَرُ جَمْعًا. And the strange thing is, there were two classes of people here in the Bani Israel around this time. The one class was saying, يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُون. Now, we see Qarun, in today's terms, you say, hey, see the cabs he's got. And see what he's got, you know, the display, the outfits, the planes that he's got. And see how he runs around. See the jewel, and what he's got, the diamonds and whatever. So, if we could also be so wealthy like him, if we could also be wealthy like him, you know, had we only had the type of wealth that he's got, so the worldly class, they began to speak like that. And قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَأَمِيلَ الصَّالِحَ. Like you find, the righteous ulama, in this day also, say, don't run behind the world. Don't run behind temptations. Don't run behind material. The life in this world is very short. Death is imminent. Don't you hear this bayan? So in that zamana also, those ulama stood up to warn them, وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. Okay, this is transitory. The reward of Allah Ta'ala is better. That is lasting, that is enduring. This is coming to an end. Don't run behind this, don't chase behind this. Don't even you desire for this. Don't let your mind run behind these things here. You don't even desire for these things. وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. So, the very stance that is of the righteous ulama in this day was the stance of the ulama in that day as well. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. So it alludes to the fact that if an alim is running behind the world, then he's not an alim. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. See, the destruction of the Christians came like this. That their ulama and their wealthy began to hoard wealth. يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِدَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Their rabbis and their priests, they began to hoard wealth, began to hoard, right? And didn't spend it like how they're supposed to be spending it. And that became the cause of their destruction. In this world, in the next world, يُحْمَى بِهَا جِبَاهُمْ. They'll be branded with that same wealth on their foreheads, on their sides, on their flanks, on their backs. So the ulama stood up to warn their people, by don't you aspire for this. You don't let your mind run behind this. Because the akhirat is better. You must aspire for the akhirat. Don't run behind this thing. وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَ. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. But you get this with a little bit of patience, this understanding, and to come to terms with this, you have to be patient, you have to endure. For a little while you'll see things running around, you'll feel for it. You are human. When you are human, so you feel. When the next person has got a fortune, he's got something, so your mind runs after it, your heart chases it, right? So you have to just keep yourself under control and think to yourself that it is the taqdeer of Allah Ta'ala, And I don't need to chase my mind and my heart and my aspirations behind these things. وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. Then there came the disaster after that, when Qarun began to show off with his wealth. Came out and displaying, showing off with his wealth. And then not only showing off, but with the showing off, then he says, أُوتِيتُ وَعَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ إِنْدِ. I got it of my own achievement, my acumen, my ingenuity, my brains and intelligence. I got all these things here. Now, I know how to invest. I know how to go. I know business. I know how to make things work. I'm an operator. I can work out things. Things is stuck up. I can do it for you. So this Allah Pak doesn't like this type of statements. So the statement of his, that I got it of my own achievement. And his people are warning him. Ulama are warning him that don't say this type of things. Don't have this type of an attitude. But he said, no. You see, when you are in that wealth, then that wealth brings about that type of arrogance. Allah Pak says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When man feels, when he sees himself to be quite wealthy, then he feels, now nobody can come and rule me. Then I can do my own thing. I can break the law, I can overstep the mark. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرْرَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. When he sees himself to be wealthy and well-to-do, so he feels, no, nobody can rule my life, I can do my own thing. So Allah Pak doesn't like this attitude. So, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. What happens? Then Allah Ta'ala causes the earth to swallow him. All his riches and whatever else, and he's swallowed. فَمَا كَانَ لَهُ مِنْ فِيَةِ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Now these people that were aspiring for that wealth, you know. تَمَنَّوْ مَكَانَهُ يَقُولُنْ وَيْكَأَنَّ اللَّهُ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَّعُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. Now they come to their senses. Say, no, now do we realize that this plan is Allah Ta'ala's. He extends the plan for someone, he expands it. Wealth, belongings, property, life, health. For someone, Allah Pak just expands it. And for someone, he narrows it. For some person, he expands it. Got all the leisure, all the comfort. And for the next person, Allah Ta'ala just constricts it. Right? لَوْلَا أَمَّنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا لَخَسَفَ بِنَا. It is just the favor of Allah Ta'ala that we didn't get swallowed into the earth. Allah Ta'ala took pity for us for some reason. Right? And because of that, Allah Ta'ala just moved this calamity away from us. Like we would have been swallowed like how he's got swallowed. So this belief of taqdeer, that when you are in the heat of wealth, in the prime of your power, the prime of your power, prime of your authority, prime of the wealth, then what you're supposed to be doing? كَيْلَا وَلَا تَفَرَحُوا بِمَا آتَكُمْ. You're not supposed to be proud. But by the same token, when you are smashed down, when you are struck by some calamity, لِكَيْلَا تَأَسَوْا عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ. When you're struck down by some calamity, then whilst you're being struck by a calamity, then too, you're not supposed to be getting depressed and despondent, okay, now this thing came to me. Because that Muslim's mind, that believer's mind, is always towards decree, divine decree, destiny, that it was destined for me, it had to happen, right? So, لِكَيْلَا تَفْرَحُوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ لِكَيْلَا تَأَسَوْا عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. When you're in the wealth, in power, in comforts, in riches, then you're not overwhelmed with pride or arrogance or self-conceit and self-admiration. You're not overwhelmed. But by the same token, when you're overcome with any calamity and any type of misfortune, then too, you're not overwhelmed. Say, well, this also, it is from Allah Ta'ala. That prosperity was from Allah Ta'ala, and this adversity is also from Allah Ta'ala. Like, I'm pleased with prosperity, then I'm pleased with this condition as well. Pleased with prosperity, then I am pleased with adversity as well. Because it would seem like an adversity, but behind or after that adversity, there may be some good for me. It would seem like an adversity, but after that adversity, it may seem there may be some good for me. Like, for example, just a small little example, you know, the child is very, very worked up. He becomes emotional, angry, and he goes to reach his father's gun to shoot that enemy of his. And the father just shuts the vault and he locks it up. He is frustrating, you know. Hey, why are you being so hard upon me? The whole world is against me. Now the father understands that he is overcome with emotions. So he closes everything up. After a week or something, and when he's relaxed, everything is simmered down, everything is calm. Now the father says, now what's the position? You know, Abba, now I'm very happy that you closed the thing for me. I would have just acted irrationally. I would have shot the person down. And because of that, I would have been languishing in prison. So you just close it down. Really, for me, it was distressful at that moment. I couldn't swallow that at that time. I couldn't understand. I couldn't come to terms with that at that time. But had I been in control at that time of this weapon, I would have shot the person down. But as a consequence, what would have happened? I would have been in prison. Now, alhamdulillah, you just acted wisely. Just put the thing away from for me. Now I understand that there was some plan behind this. That you had to put this away. It was to my advantage, to my betterment. So many times it happens when that wealth is not there freely available, right? We don't have that enjoyment, that freedom. Then really it is to our advantage, not to our disadvantage. But just that we can't see it. لِكَيْ لَا تَأَسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفَرْحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. Allah Bakhtofi Nasir.